1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Vice President Vance meets with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem today as a fragile ceasefire in Gaza holds. At an appearance last night, CBS's Holly Williams asked,
what do you think the likelihood is that it will last long term? If you had to put a number on it, a percentage.
Can I say with 100% certainty that it's going to work? No. But you don't do difficult things by only doing what's 100% certain.
President Trump's nominee to head the Office of Special Counsel, Paul Ingrassia, is out. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Ingrassia faced criticism after Politico reported he sent racist text messages to a group chat.
Angry New Yorkers face off with masked ICE agents rounding up suspected undocumented street vendors selling alleged fakes in Chinatown.
None of this is about public safety. It is about fear and chaos.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced a preliminary injunction to continue blocking the U.S. Department of Agriculture from turning SNAP data over to the federal government. The injunction originates from a multi-state lawsuit filed in July, arguing the Trump administration's demand for personal and sensitive information on Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program recipients violates federal law and the Constitution. The USDA has threatened to withhold funding through SNAP, known as Food Share, in Wisconsin without that data. AG Call may be up for a rematch in next year's election for Wisconsin Attorney General. Savannah Tomei-Olson has the details.
Attorney General Josh Call already announced he's running to keep his seat after speculation he might throw his hat in the ring to become governor. Now, Eric Toney has joined the race. In 2022, he was the GOP nominee for attorney general. Toney has been the district attorney for Fond du Lac County since 2012. He was also the former president of the Wisconsin District Attorneys Association. Toney says his top priorities include addressing the fentanyl crisis, changing crime lab practices, and targeting violent crime in Milwaukee. When Call and Toney ran against one another in 2022, it was a close race. Call won with a 1.3% margin.
Another Republican candidate has entered the field for lieutenant governor in 2026. On Monday, small business owner Will Martin officially announced his candidacy for the race, joining former mayor of Lancaster, David Varnum, in the Republican primary field. Martin ran for the position in 2022, but fell short in the Republican primary. He also previously worked under former Republican governors Scott Walker and Tommy Thompson. On the Democratic side, only Secretary of State Sarah Gonlewski has announced her campaign for lieutenant governor. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers prepare for Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, it's the Packers and the Steelers this week on Sunday Night Football. But head coach Matt LaFleur reminding us they're playing the Steelers, not Aaron Rodgers.
We're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, who happen to have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's as simple as that. That is for you guys to talk about. We've got a lot of respect and love for Aaron. I mean, what he's done here is a Hall of Famer. This game is not about that. It's about going to Pittsburgh, Sunday Night Football. Our guys will be jacked up. It's about the Green Bay Packers versus the Pittsburgh Steelers.
NBA, it's the Bucks against the Wizards tonight in Milwaukee and the debut of Miles Turner and what role he'll play on the Bucks this season.
As a center, you know, as an anchor in the back part of the defense, it's like, what you're supposed to do? The feedback has been phenomenal. It's like, you know, you're right. I don't even realize when I'm doing it. They're saying, yo, we need more of that. You know, it's not something we've had, you know, consistently in the past. Like, we need a voice. We need someone to always, like, step up and speak. So I'm just taking it on.
That's the Bucks' Miles Turner with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy, blustery, and cold today with an isolated light shower or two, highs only in the mid-40s. For tonight, breezy and chilly with lows in the mid-30s. On Thursday, partly sunny, still breezy and cool with highs only in the upper 40s. Right now, it's 42.
Feel the heart in every note as you sway along to the mixture of roots, rock, and Americana music of the Mark Croft Band. Coming to the main stage at the Jensen Community Center in Amherst, November 8th. Purchase your tickets today for $20 at jensencommunitycenter.ticketspice.com/MCB or $25 at the door while supplies last. Don't miss this rare opportunity to enjoy an award-winning musical act at the Jensen Community Theater, November 8th. Reception with appetizer and drinks at 6, curtain opens at 7.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome No Packers, No Life director Craig Benzine and Northeast Wisconsin native son and the writer-director of a movie currently in theaters called The Twits, Phil Johnston. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north. It's 7:06 on a Wednesday morning, October 22nd. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison, A2. Ellie Bordeaux, Up North News newsletter editor, joining us in just a sec. And then we'll also be talking this hour to the president of the Viroqua School Board about the school funding system in the state. It stinks. That includes this new state budget, where the best Republicans would agree to with Governor Tony Evers was some additional school funds in some parts of the budget, but basically a 0% increase in general state aid, and inflation's not 0%. So that's making it harder for school districts to avoid another round of referendums. And so we'll talk about the system. We've got Civic Media sports editor Jimmy Kuska coming up. And then looking ahead at 8:35, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us. Normally she's here Mondays and Fridays, but is going to join us because yesterday there was a virtual press conference with a bipartisan group of Wisconsin lawmakers working on legislation that would increase access to resources and education about menopause. And they were joined by actress Halle Berry, who has been a menopause activist, trying to get people to learn more about symptoms, treating them, research, things like that. And so we'll play back some of her remarks and talk to Dr. Lyerly about that from the standpoint of an OBGYN. That, again, coming up at 8:35. Temperatures around the state right now range from 37 degrees in Manitowish Waters and Solon Springs to 48 degrees in Shawano. Pretty much all of Wisconsin is at some point in the mid-40s right now. It's 41 here in Chippewa Falls. And again, things will be getting a bit more seasonable for temperatures after today's last shot of a little bit of rain before things move out of the area and we get some pleasant weather for the rest of the week. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy with showers and 43. We got about a tenth of an inch of rain overnight. He says it felt like November with a high of 43. And a wind chill of 38 for much of the day yesterday. Says he has a meeting in Shawano today and some errands to run. It may be one of the first times that Rob has not talked about mowing, although I don't doubt that he, like us here, still has some mowing jobs, mostly to grind up the leaves and mulch them up and get them out of the way. But again, you know, we've got temperatures in the mid-40s by and large around Wisconsin. So stay inside, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and read up on that Up North News daily newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Ellie Bordeaux puts it together for us and joins us now on Wednesday mornings. Ellie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
That's good. It's nice to see you. It's nice to have you here today talking about the things that you put in. And let's start with something local that you ask people to submit ideas or photos about, and that would be pizza places in their area. And I get the feeling a lot of people, if they've got a place they really like, there's like a sense of pride. They want to tell you about it. How was the response?
Yes, absolutely. I love getting responses. I love our locals love section because it allows us to highlight some small businesses around the state, those kinds of things. But I do think that is very true. People have a lot of pride in their pizza places around the state. I got so many emails and so many responses of people saying, this is the best pizza place in the state. This is so great. You need to check this out. So many recommendations. We've got some from Fond du Lac, Janesville, Eau Claire. So we, every Friday, have a different Locals Love section. And last week was pizza. This upcoming week, we're doing burgers. So be sure to send those in. I want to hear about your best burger places. I want to know where to check out around the state. So it's really great.
I'm guessing, as I was looking at some of the reviews, like Paul here says about Wisco's in Eau Claire, it's what I like to call the most Wisconsin place I've ever been to. There is also axe throwing, which is also very fun. Their Midwest deep dish pizza is the absolute best. I am not aware of any place, Paul, other than that place that combines pizzas and axe throwing. I'm still not really sure how we've allowed axe throwing in public places like restaurants, but was that one of the more unusual ones that you saw of everything that was put in?
Yeah, I would say that one was a little bit more unusual. I have also never heard of the combination of axe throwing and pizza in the same place, but hey, to each their own, and if it works, it works. So yeah. I like it.
There was Harry's Prohibition Bistro in Sheboygan that said, the moment you walk in and smell the wood-fired pizza oven and the 1920s decor brings you back in time. My favorite is the walnut pizza with Italian sausage. The burst of cream cheese with each bite adds an extra great flavor. From Merrill. Merrill is the person who submitted this. That's new on so many levels. The walnut, the cream cheese. I'm sure you heard some other interesting flavor combinations in pizza.
Yeah, we've got another one from Elkhart Lake about a beef marsala pizza. That's something that's I have never heard of before, but hey, sounds great. That sounds like something I need to check out. So I'm interested.
So not only can we talk about the local pizza places, but the different pizza combinations. And before we get going with folks here, when we talk about pizza combinations, you don't have to send in the Hawaiian one, the right. Ham and the pineapple. That's right up there with candy corn. It's going right into the garbage can.
No,
just Parker. Come on, man.
You're killing me.
I can't say I agree with that either.
So y'all can have whatever weird takes you want, but I want to hear them. We've already heard that one. We've heard that one to death, but now we're hearing these new ones. You know, a beef marsala. I've heard of chicken marsala, but beef marsala pizza. And then you've got the walnut pizza with Italian sausage and a little bit of cream cheese. So what else we got out there? I definitely invite comments coming out. Oh, no, not Tony, too. Tony, pineapple was made for pizza.
Oh, no.
Oh, Tony. God, we're going to miss you and all your comments you used to send to us. Anyway, so we now that I've opened up that can of sardines or whatever else you like on your pizza, people have really taken to it. What are you looking for next?
So we're looking for burgers next. So this Friday, we're going to be featuring your favorite burger spots. I want to hear them. Send them in. Send us some unique burgers that you have seen around the state. What are some weird flavor combinations that maybe you wouldn't think about? Kind of like a beef marsala pizza. What would be the equivalent of that to a burger?
I will say that in the Madison area, one of the things I miss is at the Great Dane. And the Great Dane has a burger patty and a brat patty. And then, you know, like I think it's fried onions and something else, and it's on a pretzel bun. And I might have to leave and drive down to Madison for lunch. That's just, I miss it so much.
Yeah.
I got a couple of great places up in Eau Claire. You know, there's the Amber Inn. Again, just this little tiny corner bar, but just amazing burgers off their little griddle there behind the bar. Corton House makes great burgers too. So, yeah, we definitely want everybody else's favorites. Ellie, you got a favorite in the Oconomowoc area?
I'm trying to think. I would say, honestly, my favorite is probably, I would say the most unique is Crafty Cow in Oconomowoc. They've got like a peanut butter burger, which is
Come
very
on.
Interesting. But
peanut
I know,
butter
it
burger.
Sounds weird, but it works. So they have a location, I believe, in Milwaukee as well. But, yeah, I would say Crafty Cow is like our biggest spot in Oconomowoc for burgers. But I do think too, it's like kind of the smaller underground places that also sometimes have the best, you know, like you don't expect it, but for some reason it's the best.
You know? No, you know, you remind me that also in downtown Eau Claire, the Livery has a unique burger. I haven't had it for a bit, but I know that there's like some pepper jelly that's on it. And I forget what kind of if cheese is on there. Parker, anything from a Whitewater standpoint?
There is a place in Whitewater that has a peanut butter burger. Can't remember what it is. I think it's at Fat Jack's. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Fat Jack's.
Okay. So there you go. We want your burger places. We want to know exactly what it is that makes them so good. The weird flavor combinations. We'll definitely take it all. Here's one from the livery. It's gorgonzola cheese and a bacon onion balsamic jam. A bacon onion balsamic jam with arugula on a brioche bun.
Ooh, now, that sounds good.
It is. I'd rather have the pretzel, but I am not. Brioche to me is like too sweet for a hamburger bun. I want that as like, you know, French toast. That brioche is the best for that.
That's
really
fair.
Really went into food talk here today, didn't we?
Okay, well, yeah, I guess so.
Talked about pizza. We've talked about burgers. Let's talk about fish, but we're not eating these ones because they're made of paper. So.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. So in July, people from around the world participated with the Sierra Club of the Wisconsin chapter. And they set the world record for the largest display of origami fish ever created with 86,262 origami fish. And so the display was set up in the Urban Ecology Center in Milwaukee, with each one with a message to shut down Line 5. And so now that display is moving to the state capitol, moving to Madison. So they're looking for volunteers to help with setup. They're looking for help with preparing for the display. They're looking for people to come attend the press conference. That'll be later. So all that information is in the newsletter as well. It's just a big message of for state lawmakers of a call to shut down Line 5. So that's why they've done that.
We had that in our on the radio show and in the newsletter back in May, as by setting this world record for collecting origami fish, they could call attention to Enbridge's Line 5, how they want to reroute it around the Bad River Reservation. But the tribal community is like, well, yeah, you can go around it, but you're still putting a pipeline through the Bad River, you know, watershed. And so the court fights go on all of that. And so this was their way of calling attention. They had a website, fishforfuture.org. Again, fishforfuture.org, where you can read more about the collection and everything they want to do now to display it. So a nice little follow-up on there. And then finally, Ellie, you've got a new feature called Civic Check-In. As we described it in the last hour, there's a lot of big words out there, authoritarianism, fascism, oligarchy, things like that. And they sound like, you know, unattainable, but it really is important in this day and age to brush up on these terms, because they demonstrate, you know, that there's some real threats to democracy and freedom in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we wanted to include this section is, a lot of these words are being thrown around a lot more recently. And some of these words, I would say people maybe haven't heard since high school, like since their high school civics class, you know? And so I think it's important for all of us to brush up on our knowledge of different political words and understanding what it means for you in your daily life. Are these patterns that you're seeing now, like being able to come to recognize those in your own way and that kind of thing. So today we focused on an oligarchy and talking about the different types of oligarchies, what that means, the patterns to recognize. So every week we take a different type of term and kind of define it, go in depth with it, and then ask for your thoughts on what do you see in our day and age now?
And I think that's a great thing to do because, again, words can get thrown about without having them be technically correct. For me, the most glaring example are all the folks on the political right who love to scream socialism, that this is socialist, clearly demonstrating that they're not completely grasping what socialism actually means, but they love to throw out that big word. Well, if people are going to be saying that things are perhaps similar to an oligarchy or fascist, it might be important to, again, brush up on what it means to see that in that context, those words are being correctly used right now, unlike socialism over the past, you know, decade or two. So to read more about that and everything else that Ellie Bordeaux puts together, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe up in the top banner. Ellie, thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
Yep, you as well. Appreciate it very much. Let's take a look at sports now. at 7:19, where, again, we've got just one little note I wanted to pass along. The Packers taking on Aaron Rodgers at Pittsburgh Sunday at 7:20. Pregame starting at 5 on several Civic Media stations. A homeroom segment is coming up in 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin heads west to take on the Oregon Ducks. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Tune in to WFHR on Friday, October 31st from 5 to 8 for a special Halloween broadcast featuring the entire radio station staff. Get ready for trick-or-treating by listening to spooky stories, scary songs, and creepy poems to get you in the mood for a frightfully fun evening. This special is brought to you by Johnson & Sons Jeep, Gary's Coins, Hoffman's Tackle, Elks Lodge 693, El Cafe, Maker's Square, Beaver's Dime Store, Jensen Community Center, Evolution Axe Throwing, and E-Way Sales & Pawn. Listen Halloween night from 5 to 8 if you dare.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us and giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
I like to see our power play be more productive. I know we had a good start early, but now as you start playing some of the better teams, we're not being as productive. So I don't think we shoot the puck enough, to be honest with you. And I've had many conversations with the three guys up top, which is Baldur, Jack Shoy, and Allstrand. All of them can shoot the puck. None of them do, right? So that's my conversation is, we got to shoot more. And you might have 60 shots, some of them more quality than others. Most of those shots are not getting through or they're not high percentage shots. We're not getting the rebounds or we're not getting the guys in front. So they're killing plays and they kill the power play when a goalie just grabs it. And they get fresh players out, right? Yeah. You don't want to do that. So we're not being smart with the puck and creating more opportunities.
I think this is one of the things I love about hockey that has brought me to it my whole life and everything, but it's also got to be one of the more difficult things, I would think, in, I don't know about coaching, but even in just trying to plan for in a game. Hockey is one of the few sports where you'll take a shot knowing that it's not good. They don't have a chance. You just want to get the puck down there in a ricochet and hope somebody can knock it in, something like that. Yep. You don't do that in basketball. You don't do that in baseball. You don't do that in other sports. Maybe you want to advance the runners a little bit in baseball, so little like that, but not like this, where you don't get an out. You don't have a ding against you. You just got that puck in the, right where you want it in that zone. Trying to get that more aggressive, trying to get your players to shoot the puck more, any of these things, how do you instill that?
We draw it out. You know, this is where when a play comes from one side, right? And it goes out, and we talk about from going low to high, back down to low, because you want to stretch them on the defensive side to create openings, right? So when you go low to high, and we're digging the puck in the corner, we go back to the D, walk, get off the wall, get to the center, or as close as you can. But when you shoot the puck, and you're all coming from the left side, you don't shoot it to the right. There's nobody there. Right, so you got to shoot it back where you came from, because that's where the guys are coming to crash the net. Right, so now it's about guys getting sticks out, getting in front of the goalie, and if it hits you, it hits you. It goes in, it goes in. Nobody cares how. Right. Just get in. Right? So it's just about forcing a defenseman. Just get it there. It doesn't have to be hard. It's got to be quick. Right, just get it there so the goalie doesn't get set. And that's what we talk about, you know, and we have drills where we'll do, where we have guys cutting in front of them and they got to shoot it by him or whatever, just so that they practice, because we get a lot of shots blocked too, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
We could have 60, 70 shots, you know.
You almost did this weekend. I was going to ask Coach, I know, what I'm kind of piggybacking on what James was saying, I think you got to be very thrilled with how the penalty kill played this weekend, but I think that's the other side of is where one thing you're going to work on is taking the penalties. Because fortunately, it didn't impact you guys too much negatively. But it's a situation where you had to kill off how many 5-on-3s, even though it was, you know, maybe 20 seconds each time. But you were sometimes down 5-on-4 for 4 minutes because bang, bang, bang.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we got to talk about being disciplined, right? I mean, it's just, there's a time and place, and that comes with the maturity, because you look at some of the guys that were getting it, the younger guys, right? They're getting scruffles. They think they're Rocky Balboa, right? And next, you know, they don't understand why they got a penalty.
Right.
So it's being smart and not putting us in bad positions, and we got to continue to work on our PK. We're still not up to par.
Right.
And our alignment and reading and anticipating, and that second guy, you know, you can have a guy stand there by the goaltender, right? He's not really doing anything, but he should be forcing to one side, which means the second guy's got to anticipate and jump.
Yep.
If he's not there, okay, then it's an easy out, and that guy's flying down the ice, and now I got two guys stuck down there.
Yep.
Right? Now it's a 4-on-2. Right.
When it comes to all those things that are going to be worked on, I'm sure, this week, but when it comes to things that you're feeling good about, things that are positives for this team that maybe you didn't see coming, or maybe are just a you know, reinforcing what you were hoping for a couple of months ago before the season started and everything, what has impressed you so far this season about your team?
I think the veterans, the guys that have stepped up, like the Diamonds and the Austrians and the Ilyans and Baldukes and Shaws, and it's the second-year guys that really didn't have a top role last year that have stepped into that top role and have accelerated, right? So, guys, all those guys that I just mentioned are horses for us. And I mean, look, we don't even have 4 lines.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's tough. So now you're asking these guys to do a lot.
Yep.
Right? So now you can look at it. Listen, you're getting opportunity to play more. That's what you want.
Yeah.
But you got to be productive. And now you got to understand all situations. You know, sometimes guys are just power play guys. And it's guys are just PK guys. But now you got these guys playing in all different roles. And guys like Ilyan and Jack Choi, they're a very good penalty killing unit. I mean, they're big, they're rangy, right?
Yep.
They're long, and they can get in ways, and they know how to skate and score, right? So that becomes a threat. That's something that I paired those two guys together, and then you got Diamond and Ruffalo, who are very fast and quick, right? So you start getting your pairs together, and I want to see combinations and see who's smart, who's not, and that kind of thing, and capitalize on those kind of turnovers.
Hockey's such an endurance marathon, and then when you're working with three over lines instead of four, it's really asking a lot. But it is. I think the word that you use there, opportunity, is such a perfect word for these kids, and especially with this whole league, what all this is about. That's a really it's you know, that's an advantage I think in some ways in that regard. When it comes to this weekend, we got the Northwoods Express coming to town Friday, Saturday, 7 o'clock puck drop right here here at 105.5 WIRI. Join Michael Comer for these games. If you can't get to the rec center, of course, if you can get to the rec center, get there. Fill the arena, everybody. We want to make sure that Hudson and Northwest and all these teams in our division know what home ice advantage is and what we have over the other teams in this division. With Northwest Express, lost their last game, 4-3 in their last 10. Fifth in the division, not playing bad. And from what I was seeing last weekend, looked like they were starting to figure some things out.
Now, let me tell you something. This is a team. This is a good test. Mm-hmm. This will be a test. They are very good. I don't know how they're 4-3, to be honest with you. The Ox are playing very well. Mm-hmm. Squatch are still undefeated, right? So it's going to be a dogfight and right down to the end. And you're going to have to win big games like this. And it's good that we see it early. Listen, we're at the quarter of the season. It's already done.
Yeah.
Just like that, right?
Join James and all his guests on Playmakers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. on 105.5 WIRI.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. 97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The information vacuum continues to take a toll on commodities. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says without reliable data from government agencies like the U.S. Department of Agriculture, traders turn to things like social media as streams of information. Not necessarily always reliable, definitely not something that can always be verified, but he says they trade it anyhow.
Very much so, and obviously in our modern world of trading now too, with the algo traders and you know they're searching headlines and anything that comes from the administration or just news anywhere just triggers market reaction, and that's some of the volatility that we got in all these markets right now. It makes it just very difficult to manage for producers in terms of protecting risks, things along those lines.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He said now, because it's so late in October, he fears that if the government doesn't reopen soon, the November World Ag Supply Demand Report will be on the chopping block. He said all the information they release in the November report actually collected in October.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
At Steffes Auctioneers, we don't just sell, we guide. Knowing what your equipment or land is worth isn't just a number, it's clarity. It's the first step in making smart decisions for your future. That's why we offer honest, market-based valuations with no pressure to sell. Just insight you can trust. Start with the conversation or start with the valuation. Steffes Auctioneers. We don't just sell, we guide. Not sure where to start? Let's talk. Visit steffesgroup.com right now. That's steffesgroup.com.
On Tuesday, the barrel cheese gained a quarter of a cent to 177.5. 40-pound block cheese was down 3 at 176.5, and AA butter stood still at $1.58 a pound. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is right now up 18 cents at 17.16 a hundredweight. December's up 2, 16.53 a hundredweight. Currently, December corn is unchanged at 420. March corn unchanged at 434. We've got November soybeans up 2 at 10.33. January soybeans currently 2 cents stronger at 10.51. And July new crop wheat down a penny right now at 5.38.5. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy, blustery, and cold today with an isolated light shower or two, highs only in the mid-40s. For tonight, breezy and chilly with lows in the mid-30s. On Thursday, partly sunny, still breezy, and cool with highs only in the upper 40s. Right now, it's 42.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them. which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. From Indiana University canceling its school newspaper to Northern Wisconsin being served by high school students, we'll discuss it with Pat Kreitler and Trigby Olson. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Nice to have you back at 7:35 on this Wednesday morning. Now, there are local news updates throughout the course of our show here, 6 to 9 weekdays on the Civic Media Radio Network. But even as those local updates are happening on most stations, we continue yammering over here from Chippewa Falls and Madison. And if you'd ever like to listen into the show that way or watch what we're doing, there's always the Civic Media app where you can tune into one of the other stations that continues to play the network feed. You can certainly watch what we do on YouTube or Facebook. That would be the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages, or the Civic Media YouTube and Facebook pages. Or you could sign up for us as a podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple and follow the program that way. And you'll never miss a minute of what it is that we are talking about over here on weekday mornings, like at 7:35, 7:36 now. On Wednesday morning for our homeroom segment, when we talk about public education in Wisconsin and, its many positive qualities and the many threats that are out there from privatization, from people playing politics with our schools, people playing politics with school funding in our state. We have a state funding system that is much more convoluted than it needs to be. And each session of the legislature, every 2 years when they write a new state budget, they try to work around the system as best they can. And in this last state budget, legislative Republicans and Democratic Governor Tony Evers finally reached a deal. But it is a deal that is not exactly sitting well with a large number of school districts that are not seeing much of an increase in general state aids. They're seeing some increased dollars in other parts of the budget, like special education. But on the whole, they are still having a tough time keeping up with inflation, conceivably leading to another record round of school referendums across the state. So joining us to talk more about it is the president of the school board in Viroqua, Angie Lawrence, who was also part of a news conference last week with some state lawmakers to describe the problems in the system and how school districts have to live with the reality of them in the here and now. And Angie Lawrence joins us now from Viroqua. Angie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm great. How are you?
It's nice to have you here. Thank you very much. We saw you in this news conference last week talking about the system here, which, again, if you take the party labels out of it and you just look at the system itself, this is not something that you or probably any other school board president would draw up on a napkin someplace and put into effect. And yet you have to learn it and deal with, you know, the realities of the here and now. So let folks know what you were saying last week about general state aid in this new state budget and what it means for school districts like yours.
So number one, we don't even get the budget until October. So that's one of the problems. I mean, school starts, our annual budget starts in July. So I don't know how many businesses run their business by not having a budget until, you know, 5-6 months after their annual year begins. So that's one issue. So when this came out, this recent budget came out and their decisions, it affected a lot of school districts, millions and millions of dollars that they thought that they were going to receive and then they didn't receive. That wasn't the case in our district. We received a little over $8,000 less than what we had anticipated. but it didn't affect us as it did many other schools. What has affected us is the voucher program. So the voucher program, and I can give you an example, the Academy of Excellence in Milwaukee, for example, they are going to receive over $50 million this year from our local taxpayers. Their last year, only 18% of their students were, they either met, they only met expectations, 18%. Zero exceeded expectations in language arts. And then in math, only 13% of their students met expectations, with 0% exceeding expectations. I don't know about anybody out there, but if your school district had that type of success or failure, I think that you would be trying to contact the DPI. You would try to get the DPI in there. You would be trying to perhaps close the school because they were incapable of meeting the expectations for children and their educational outcomes. So that's one of the issues. Our school district spent almost $1.2 million from our local taxpayers for the voucher program this last year. So I, once again, you know, we're supposed to provide a high quality of education for every student, and it's just not happening with this voucher program. They have no accountability. They say on the website that they hope that you'll take the test, but if you don't want to, that's all you have to do is send them an email. So they're not even advocating for students to and families to take the test to see how accountable their educational system is in Milwaukee. They also have only 800 of their students actually attend in brick and mortar buildings in Milwaukee. So that means that there's, because they have about 3,700 students in their program, they did last year. And so that means that there's, you know, 2,900 students that are homeschooled, which that was not the intent of the voucher program. And they're not perhaps testing. They don't know if they're doing, the students are doing the work or if the parents are doing the work. They don't know if the students are taking the test or the parents are taking the test. And there's no accountability for these dollars. So I don't believe that that's our legislators' intent, but that's what's happening. It would be like the Viroqua Area School District saying, we're going to create a voucher school because we have brick and mortar, and we're going to include all of the Amish population, and we're not going to have licensed teachers. We're just going to let them teach, and we're going to let them follow their curriculum, whatever that might be. And then we're going to receive funding for it. And once again, I do not think that's the intent of our legislators, but that is something that could happen that would bring dollars to our school district without us really having to do anything at all. I mean, that's ludicrous. We're not going to do that. But those are the types of things that can happen because of how the voucher program is running. And then you spoke about referendums. So we have passed two referendi in the last 4 or 5 years. One was brick and mortar. We added a very large technical education component to our school and updated the equipment, which was very much necessary, and then made some repairs that were needed. And that was a $20 million referendum. And we were very, very fortunate to have support of our community. But we did have a failed referendum, and that was operational. And then we had to go back to the community and ask for the dollars again. And that this time when we did pass, it was only for 2 years. So now we're going to have to go to a referendum again in another year to ask our community to assist in funding our school. This costs a lot of money. It's a huge amount of time and effort to explain why we need it. You know, our community, like I said, is very philanthropic. They support schools. But why are we going every 2 or 3 years to referendum? And a big part of it is the state budget. The state budget you know, only lasts for 2 years. So we never know what's going to happen in the next 2 years, if they're going to take money away from us, if they're going to add a small amount, if it's going to meet inflation. So this has become a huge problem for trying to operate our school districts and prepare for the future. And there's also a bunch of inequity. I mean, I could go on and on forever with this, but it's creating more inequity for students because your poor communities are failing at a very large rate their referendum that they're trying to pass. And your wealthy school districts are passing their referendum. And so that's creating, like I said, a huge separation between the haves and the have-nots. And I believe in every child receiving a very high level of education, and I'm sure all your listeners do as well. But why is our state and all our tax dollars not going to the state, and then all of those dollars are being dispersed equally with every student versus having to go to a referendum and trying to pass something and spending, like I said, a very large amount of money, a very large amount of time and energy, and you don't know if it's going to pass or not.
No.
So how do you keep your teachers? How do you keep your programs? It doesn't make any sense.
No, there's such uncertainty as a result of the system. Angie Lawrence is the president of the school board in Viroqua, and we're talking about the many flaws in the system that were frankly only exacerbated by this new state budget. And For all the wisecracks about people talking about, you know, government schools and resources, well, imagine, you know, how much fewer the challenges would be if you weren't skimming nearly $1 billion a year off the top and taking that away and giving it to these schools that are not accountable, that are not nearly as transparent, that are doing things like you said, where their students are opting out of standardized tests at an alarming rate and leading, therefore, to more referendums. The system, as much as we say there are problems with it, the fact of the matter is the basics are pretty easy to understand. We have a Wisconsin Constitution that says that, you know, education should be supported in as uniform a way as practicable. These are things that we can get back to those standards. There was a blue ribbon commission dedicated to fixing this system with Republicans and Democrats on it, and yet nothing has come of it since. So, Angie, this is just all to say, we can identify the flaws in the system. We can also fix the flaws in the system if we could get lawmakers that wanted to take your concerns seriously.
Well, it's not rocket science. Right. I mean, you're talking about deferring tax dollars, property tax dollars from different communities, having to raise those tax dollars versus the state saying, you know what, we're going to raise taxes and it's all going to go to schools. Not all of the dollars, obviously, but it's going to go to schools so that every child in the state of Wisconsin receives a high quality education. And taxpayers should be able to understand that because they're already paying more in property taxation by passing a referendum. I mean, and schools are fiscally responsible. It's not like we're spending needless dollars to educate our kids. And the budget is not meeting inflation. Our state is becoming funded at a lower rate than all of the others, not all the other states, but it's, I think we're 24th right now. Don't quote me on that, as far as state funding. So we can do way better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was once upon a time when Wisconsin was in or near a top 10 for support of our public schools. Some politicians said that was too much. Well, now, as we're dropping to the middle of the pack and below, you wonder at what point they're going to say, OK, that's enough. We don't want to fall to the very bottom. Well, unfortunately, it seems like some politicians want exactly that as part of the ongoing push to privatization. And it's what we follow in this segment with good people like Angie Lawrence, who serves as president of the Viroqua School Board. Angie, I really appreciate your expertise and your service. Thank you so much for joining us today to share more of the background about it.
There's one more thing. You know, they say that they're funding students that have some type of a disability. Mm-hmm. Yep. But actually, if you look at how their formula works out, we're not receiving hardly any dollars for students with disabilities.
Exactly. More things to examine there. Yeah. Angie, thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be talking to Earl Ingram of the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. That and more still ahead. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us at 8:35. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this Tuesday, October 14th, 2025. Have your host, James, with us and with you. And with us right now, David Farnborough, and it's Realty Radio. David, one of our favorite segments we get to do in the month, talking a little bit about our local real estate and different things that are affecting our area. And you have such a great approach to this topic. I always look forward to the things we're going to get into. When you sent over the topic, it took me a second. I'm like, wow, this is so good. I think that we haven't done this one, though, and it seemed like one that seems like a really good one to do. We're going to be diving into Energy Awareness Month, and that's a really important topic, especially in 2025.
It is, James. It's wonderful to be back with you again. And the topic is Energy Awareness Month from my perspective as a realtor. So you might think, well, what's that got to do with buying and selling real estate? Well, these aren't just homes that people buy and sell. They're homes that we live in, and they're homes that we have our bills to pay in, and they're homes that we want to make sure are not too cold during the winter and not too hot in the summer. So This is something where a well-informed realtor can really help out a buyer or seller to help them get the best advantage from some of the energy efficient systems and programs that are now out there. I've been a Focus on Energy ambassador now, I think, for about 5 years. Hmm. It's something that I saw offered to me, and I thought this would be a good idea to sign up for. I'm always one for doing a course or a training, because as far as I can see, the more information I have, the better I can serve my buyers and sellers.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is this organization you're speaking of exactly, and what have you learned or gained from being a part of it?
Well, this is Focus on Energy.
Focus on Energy. Just want to make sure.
Right. And Focus on Energy exists outside of real estate. That's just part of what they're involved in. It is a statewide organization. They may have it in other states. I'm not 100% sure, but I don't really care about that because I'm licensed in the state of Wisconsin. But the one that I deal with is based in Madison, and it really is wonderful. The goal behind it is to help buyers, not buyers and sellers, to help homeowners make the most of their energy, to try and cut down fuel bills if they can, just let our fossil fuels last a little bit longer, and also just make people aware of some of the advances that there have been in the technology, which really helps us in terms of appliances and the systems of our home. It is a cooperative endeavor between a lot of the utility companies all over the state. For example, our own Wisconsin Rapids Waterworks and Lighting Commission takes part in it, as does the Adams Columbia Electric Cooperative, Alliant Energy, and We Energies. Mm-hmm. And they've got a list of about 40 or 50 utility companies all over the state who all participate in this.
This is they've joined us before on the air here, some representatives of them. And we've talked a little bit about this, and not so much with real estate, but it does tie in, because one of the things that I thought was really noteworthy, those companies you mentioned there and everything, business 101, make as much money as you can. These businesses, that's not necessarily the MO. That's not necessarily what they're trying to do, especially when we're talking about city works places and stuff like that, where it's so much more about efficiency and the proper amount of energy being spread out, and homes and houses and businesses being able to thrive and find, whether it's a cost-cutting way or just a better way to heat your home or your business, being able to do that. And then there's the part of this, David, that there's a lot of gray area that we've covered before when it comes to buying a home or selling a home or something like that. You've already, fast forwarding, say you've already done this. You've bought a new home. You're there. But you're used to paying so much for utilities. You're used to paying so much for this. My old place that I lived in for 10 years, I always paid this amount. When these new numbers come up, they can be high or low, whatever it might be. Having an organization like this around to kind of go for data and be able to help people either cut costs or just, hit the number you want to with some of these things. Not only is that all helpful, but this time of year, as we're getting closer and closer to turning on our heaters, it's very helpful.
That's right. And the thing that I can tell you if you're buying a home is that it actually starts before you buy. If you use a Focus on Energy ambassador realtor like me, then I do have an insight. I have done the training. I do have an insight into what might be the more energy efficient factors that are in your home already, the home you're buying. Maybe if you're seeing two or three homes, I might be able to tell you which of the homes has some better features. And I'll just go through a few of those features as examples. One of the things that we see, we don't always see it because it's usually hidden out of sight, is insulation. And usually, if somebody's got an attic that isn't accessible by foot. You know, if you can't actually get up into the attic, if it's one you just stick head and shoulders up in and take a look round, you can still see the insulation. And I'm not an expert on this. I leave that to the home inspector. The home inspector will be able to make a good recommendation about the type of insulation you should have. In Wisconsin, they recommend that you should actually have sometimes about 16 inches of insulation in your attic. And generally that's the fiberglass type, but there's also a cellulose type, which is supposed to be very efficient. The other thing that your home inspector will tell you is if the insulation is the old type that might contain asbestos, in which case you need to have that removed by a properly qualified nickel.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A TikTok streamer has a court appearance in L.A. a day after he and a U.S. marshal were wounded by a bullet that ricocheted from an ICE agent during an immigration raid. The streamer's lawyer, Carlos Jurado.
The police officers here know him. They know that he's very respectful. In fact, the city of Los Angeles has awarded him for the work that he does in the community.
The New York Times says the president wants the Justice Department to pay him $230 million for investigations during his first term in office. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
President Trump has long aired grievances about investigations into his conduct, and now he is apparently formalizing them in this form.
Vice President Vance meets with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem in a bid to shore up the peace plan for Gaza and a fragile ceasefire there.
What it could allow is an alliance structure in the Middle East that perseveres, that endures.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For